Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the meeting of the Plans Committee for Charnwood Borough Council. My name is Hilary Fryer and I'm the chair of the committee, and this is Councillor Ian Bentley, who is the vice chair. Please note that this meeting is being recorded and the recording will be made available on the council's website following the meeting. Under the Openness of Local Government Bodies regulations, people may film or record this meeting, and this is outside the council's control. However, people wishing to film or record the meeting should do so in a way that does not disrupt the business of the meeting. Also, so that the meeting is not disturbed, could I ask everyone present to please turn off your mobile phones or switch them to silent and ensure that the meeting is distraction-free. In addition, please turn off smart speakers on phones, Alexa, Siri, Cortana, etc., as these record conversations and this could be a breach of GDPR. Voting will be undertaken by a show of hands, for, against, and abstain. Speakers will be called forward at the appropriate time by myself and brought into the room accordingly. And the seat for the speakers is in the middle here on the second row. They may stay in the public gallery for the debate of their item, but following that, they may be asked to leave by the chair to ensure continued social distancing. The speakers' table will be cleaned in between uses. Speakers have 5 minutes each, and they will be timed by the Democratic Services Officer when you have 1 minute of time remaining. Normally, we have a traffic light system of three lights, red, amber, green. Unfortunately, that is currently not working, so the Democratic officer will advise you verbally when you have 1 minute remaining. If you are still speaking after that 1 minute, I'm afraid you will be put off. We have three applications tonight, and they are as listed in your agenda. And we have speakers at each one. Now, we have had late requests, which have to go to the committee for to see if they agree or not. And there is a late request from Councillor Rosie Curtis of Quenneborough Parish Council. Is Rosie Curtis here? Helen Bearford. Thank you. And this is to do with application number P202380/2. We also have another applications for late speakers. David Roberts, thank you. Lizzie Marjoram, thank you. On behalf of the applicant, and David Roberts is an objector for application P21-1093/2. Could I ask the committee, do you agree to these four late requests to speak?
Do we have to say it verbally, Chair, or just by hand?
Just by hand. Show of hands. Thank you. Have we received any apologies?
Through you, Chair. We have apologies received from Councillor Gerrard and Councillor Murphy will be substituting. Apologies received from Councillor Grimley and Councillor Stark will be substituting. And Councillors also, apologies received also from Councillor Capleton.
Item 2 on the agenda is minutes of the previous meeting. The committee is asked to confirm as a correct record the minutes of the meeting held on the 20th of October, 2022. Could you please confirm by a show of hands that the minutes are correct? Thank you. The minutes of the being confirmed as correct, and I will sign them and pass them to Democratic Services Officer at the end of the meeting. Item 3, questions under committee procedure 12.8. Have we had any questions?
Through you, Chair, none received, Chair.
Disclosures of pecuniary and personal interest. Are there any disclosures of interest? Please indicate by showing your hand. Councillor Bentley.
Yeah, I'd just like it noted that the applicant for P/21/1093/2 is known to me, but not in a personal capacity.
Thank you. Right, we now move on to the actual applications. Item 1 is application number P/20/2380/2, David Wilson Homes, East Midlands, for Barkby Road, Quenneborough, Leicestershire. And as per the Public Speaking at Plans Committee, will be the following steps. Presentation by the Planning Officer. And then we will have the speakers, and there are 4 speakers. Please indicate if you're here. Mr. Richard Croker, thank you. Helen Bareford, thank you. Rosie Curtis, thank you. And Councillor Grimley, thank you very much. Right, we now move to the presentation by the officer. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. So, as set out in pages 9 to 51 of the report, this application is in relation to P/20/2380, which is an outline application for up to 150 dwellings, together with open space, landscaping and drainage infrastructure at land off Barkby Road, Quenneborough. So to give an overview of the site, this is the site outlined in red, particularly noting Avenue Road to the north of the site, Quenneborough Industrial Estate to the west, and then relatively modern development of Boonton Meadows Way on the eastern side of Barkby Road. And to give that a bit more colour, the application site, you can see here, it consists of 2 fields, largely rectangular in shape, with a public right-of-way running through from Avenue Road, through the site, through the remaining equestrian areas and linking up to Syston Road. As you can see there, there's also Homestead Farm in the vicinity of the site. Again, just for reference, Quenneborough Industrial Estate, Boonton Meadows Way and Avenue Road to the north. And to put that into a bit more perspective in relation to the rest of Quenneborough, the site again to the south of Quenneborough. The A607 Barkby Road running up through the site, and also it's worth noting at this point that as part of the recommended conditions from the County Council, there's works to the crossroads within the centre of Quenneborough, so on Rearsby Road, where it joins onto Quenneborough Road. And whilst outside of the site, the location here is in close proximity to the site itself and is required for highways mitigation. We'll get onto that in more detail in due course. So just give those councillors who weren't able to attend the site visit this afternoon a bit of a context, and also from a slightly clearer day than it was today. This is a view along Barkby Road towards Quenneborough. The application site is on the left-hand side. You can see the properties on Avenue Road to the rear, and also the properties on Boonton Meadow Way to the right. And then a view back across the site again, Avenue Road to the right, Quenneborough Industrial Estate on the far side. This is the southern boundary of the site, and also noting that it is relatively flat, arable land at the moment. And then another view along the southern boundary. So this is with the application site on the right-hand side of this photograph, with views back across towards Homestead Farm, and you can also make out the properties of Syston on the left-hand side of that photo. And then from within the site itself, so as I mentioned, there's a public right-of-way which runs through from Avenue Road onto the site and then through the site. This is a view from that public right-of-way. So this one looks east towards Barkby Road, so the properties are on Boonton Meadow Way, shown here, and the existing settlement boundary of Quenneborough runs along where this hedgerow is on the left-hand side of this photograph. And then from the same perspective, the view back across the site towards Boonton Meadow Way, the hedgerow you can see along that point is the southern boundary of the application site. And then a view again along the public right of way towards Syston. Again, you can see the hedgerow, which is the southern boundary, and properties on Syston in the distance as well. View again from the same point, this time looking west along that boundary, so properties on that Avenue Road to the right of the shot. And the site extends up to where you can see the buildings of Quenneborough Industrial Estate in the distance. So this is a view back towards Quenneborough, back through the public right of way, this being from the southern boundary. And then from the same point, looking back, members may recall that there's a rectangular shaped site, but split between two fields with a hedgerow running between. This is that hedgerow. So the application site includes the field on the right, and this is this smaller field on the left here. And then a view back further along the public right of way, looking back towards Quenneborough. And again, another shot closer to Syston this time, looking back along the public right of way. And this is a view again. So the application site falls in front of these properties, which you can see on Avenue Road. You also see the edge of Quenneborough Industrial Estate and Homestead Farm there as well. Again, this is a view west from that public right of way. You can see the area of local separation quite clearly in this photograph, with views west towards the A607 would be in the middle distance there. This is a view from the Millstone development in Syston, looking back across the area of local separation. And we'd just point out the relatively flat topography, relatively low hedgerows, and you make out properties on Avenue Road from this point. And then a view from Melton Road back towards Barkby Road. So a view across the area of local separation, properties on Millstone Lane on the right-hand side of the screen. You can see Homestead Farm and some properties from Quenneborough Industrial Estate on the left. And then, as mentioned earlier and detailed in the report, the application includes proposals to widen the carriageway at the crossroads in Quenneborough. So this is a view of those crossroads. As you can see, you've got existing pedestrian crossing, the standard two lanes for the carriageway, footpath, verge, and then trees. These trees are protected by a tree preservation order, and within the ownership of Leicestershire County Council. And again, similar view. This is a view along Quenneborough Road from that crossroads. And again, you can see the length of trees, which are all part of the TPO, extended along that strip of the road as well. Then again, another view just showing the distances. So roadway, footpath, verge, location of the trees, and then verge, and that relates to plans which we'll show later, which show the root protection area of trees and the details referred to in the report. Again, on the photo on the left-hand side is from the ringway, which sits parallel to Rearsby Road and Quenneborough Road. So to summarise the key issues from the report in relation to the principle, the report recognises that the site is outside of the settlement limits of Quenneborough, so policy CS1 and ST2 apply. The development is in the countryside because it is outside of those settlement limits. Quenneborough is noted as an other settlement by virtue of its the amount of services and facilities which are available in that settlement are limited. As referred to as well, the development is an area of local separation, so policies CS11, CT4 and Q6 all apply. The MPPF sets out the presumption in favour of sustainable development, and at this point in time, we've got 3.04 years housing land supply, so the tilted balance applies. There are emerging policies which are being prepared as part of the new local plan, but at this point in time, they can only be given limited weight, though it's noted that policies DS1 and EV3 would apply. So as mentioned at the outset, this is an outline application with all matters reserved except for access. So the point of access from Barkby Road is a detailed matter for consideration tonight, and that's shown on the plan on screen. As you can see, relatively straightforward access onto Barkby Road with the blue dashed line showing visibility displays. It's also worth noting at this point that there's no objections from the County Council as Highways Authority in relation to this access. And again, whilst this is an outline application with all matters reserved, the proposals do include an indicative site layout, which shows that there is physical capacity to accommodate up to 150 houses on this site. But as detailed in the report, this is indicative, and there are potential issues with the layout shown here. In particular, there's the proximity of this unit close to the northern edge of the site to neighbouring properties. And also there's discussion around the landscape along the southern boundary. But otherwise, it's a useful starting point which could be considered further through any reserve matters and discharge of conditions. So as mentioned again previously, there's works to the Quenneborough Road crossroads which are required to address the additional traffic impact that this site would cause on the local highway network. And through various different amendments to the proposals, a scheme for widening the Rearsby Road junction has been agreed with the County Council as Highways Authority. And that includes the widening of the carriageway to provide a left-hand turn lane so that as vehicles come down Rearsby Road, there's the option to go into that left-hand turn lane to join Quenneborough Road. The County Council Highways Department have reviewed those proposals and are content that would create additional capacity at that junction, which would mitigate the harm from this development. However, there are implications from that widening on those TPO trees shown in the photographs, and also where the road would be widened, the footpath would need to be relocated. So, as shown on the photographs earlier, that Pelican Crossing, the footpath would be extended from there to join onto the ringway, come down, and then rejoin Quenneborough Road to the south. In order to achieve those highway works, there'd be obviously some form of construction to create the road, and that has implications for the root protection area for these TPO trees. So, and again, another layer of consideration in relation to these trees is that these are owned by the County Council as well. So the highway proposals themselves have been reviewed by the local Highways Authority and have found that they're content that would mitigate the harm from this development, subject to the details being secured through conditions. Also, as owners of those trees, the County Council have advised that the works are acceptable, subject to conditions around working methods to construct the footway, the highway, and also the method of construction for the footpath. And again, the Borough Council, as and tree officer, has reviewed those proposals and is content that with those methodologies, that the works can be achieved without affecting the integrity of that TPO area. So just to summarise there, no objections from the County Council Highways or a tree officer, subject to the conditions included in the report. So as mentioned, this application is in the countryside. It is in an area of local separation. So that there is a degree of landscape and visual impact on the area. Now this runs, there are objections from the county, there are objections from the Borough Council's landscape officer due to the impact on the area of local separation, and there's two threads to those issues. One is the physical loss of space between the two different settlements of Quenneborough and Syston. And the second layer is the perceived loss of space. So whilst the physical loss of space is more defined and clear, the perceived loss of space has a slightly more subjective characteristic to it. There is, so through that harm, through that extension of the settlement towards Syston, there would be a degree of harm. And there is some potential to reduce that through the landscape and approach taken on the southern boundary. So at the moment, based on the indicative layout, we're considering the principle of development, bearing in mind that there is scope to secure further details through reserve matters and conditions. In relation to flood risk and the technical issues associated with the development of the site, a indicative drainage strategy has been prepared and is largely based on an attenuation basin being located on the western side of the site, which the majority of the site would drain towards before then joining onto the main sewer. And there's no objections from the lead local flood authority on that basis, subject to conditions. Similarly, in relation to biodiversity, this application and the proposals have been assessed with input from the Borough Council's ecologist. A baseline assessment of the site has been agreed. A biodiversity impact assessment has been submitted by the developers, which shows that there could be a net gain of habitat on site. There's some details which are disputed with the county, with the Borough Council's ecologist, though it's recognised that this is an outline application only. The indicative layout is just that, it is indicative. So through any future reserve matters, if permission is granted, there is scope to agree further biodiversity impact assessment based on any future detailed proposals to ensure that there'd be no net loss, either through on-site provision of habitat or, failing that, there's provision made to secure contributions to offset any loss off-site. So it's recognised that there would be harm to the countryside and the area of local separation, but weighed in the planning balance is the fact that this site could provide for up to 150 dwellings and 40% of those could be affordable housings. So that's a significant benefit to be weighed in the plan balance. It's noted there's been numerous comments and objections from local residents. Some of these refer to impacts on local GPs and schools. So whilst the report provides the full detail, consultation has been undertaken, which has shown that there is scope to address any potential negative impacts in relation to provision of local infrastructure through Section 106 contributions, and the recommendation included in the report goes into the detail of what those are. So to summarise, this is an outline application with all matters reserved, except for that point of access. As mentioned, it is outside of the settlement boundary of an other settlement. It's within an area of local separation which seeks to protect the separate identities of Quenneborough and Syston. It's recognised that the development would be contrary to the development plan, and that development plan includes the core strategy from 2014, safe policies of local plan from 2004, and the Quenneborough neighbourhood plan from 2021. But considering where we are with the housing land supply at 3.04 years, whilst the development plan policies are adopted, they can only be given limited weight. It's been noted that there's concerns around the application of the Quenneborough Neighbourhood Plan in this instance, and similarly to the Boonton Meadows Way application heard by committee earlier this year, officers remain of the view that the requirements of paragraph 14 have not been met. And then, as mentioned earlier, the emerging local plan is progressing, but at this stage of its preparation, it can only be given limited weight. So to review officers' view on the on the planning balance, and as set out in the report, it's recognised that there is significant impact on the landscape and area of local separation. However, there's no other technical objections in relation to highways, drainage or local infrastructure capacity. There's no demonstrable impact on ecology or biodiversity, which can't be mitigated. And there is scope to control the layout, scale, appearance and landscaping of any future development through reserve matters. Now, whilst there's significant impact on the landscape, including the area of local separation, there's also the significant benefits which weigh in favour of the development from the proposals providing up to 150 houses. That brings us to the end of the slides. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. We now have the four speakers. Mr. Richard Croker, would you like to come forward, please? Thank you. Your 5 minutes will start as soon as you start speaking, and the Democratic Services Officer will indicate when you've got, verbally, when you've got 1 minute left. If you could turn the microphone on when you're ready, please. It's the one that's got the little...
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. You'll realise that I'm against this application, not because I'm a NIMBY, but because I care about Quinnaburgh. The same application was refused in 2018. Nothing has changed, except there is now a neighbourhood plan saying please don't build there, and the village has become much busier. It conflicts with Charnwood's stated other settlement definition and destroys separation from Syston. Already unsafe traffic levels will increase, and Quinnaburgh will be harmed in many other ways. Even without this application, Quinnaburgh on its own will already have met Charnwood's entire other settlement requirement of 500 houses. Why add further damage to this once quiet village? What about the other 11 other settlements? Charnwood's own planning department has stated that development in other settlements should be small scale, within defined limits, within settlement boundaries, taking into account local priorities identified in neighbourhood plans. This application is the opposite of each of these stipulations, therefore conflicts with their own guidance. The Planning Department's own document confirms that this proposal conflicts with many of the policies set out in the Development Plan, Local Plan and Neighbourhood Plan, too numerous to list here. What is the point of spending years developing a neighbourhood plan if it just gets ignored? And Quinnaburgh's is being ignored. Some of those in the new houses recently built have observed the traffic round here is far worse than we expected, and we can't get our children into local schools. Quinnaburgh does not have the infrastructure to support more housing development. Education, local schools are full. Where will the additional children go? Medical, local surgeries are full to capacity. Shopping, most people will have to travel outside Quinnaburgh. Employment, there are very few places for employment locally. Public transport is very limited currently, and roads already classed as beyond safe limits, and more traffic will damage Quinnaburgh permanently. Our main crossroads is already gridlocked at peak times and often dangerous to pedestrians, especially children. Buses can't make turns due to stationary traffic. School drop-offs and pick-ups by parents cause daily jams and risk accidents outside the full-capacity school. The proposed layout adjustment of the crossroads will make no improvement to peak traffic flow, because all it will do is enable vehicles to join the traffic jam at the school quicker, making the jam worse. Pointless. Why build houses in places where every new resident must drive for almost every need, because there is nothing for them in Quinnaburgh? Are we not supposed to be reducing pollution? The development will harm Quinnaburgh because it is outside the village's settlement boundary. Productive agricultural land will be lost. Wildlife will be impacted negatively. Loss of light and privacy. Quality of life of existing residents will be reduced further. And separation from Syston will be almost entirely eroded. Quenneborough and Syston will effectively become one. You can't achieve separation by just planting a few extra trees on the boundary between the two. These material planning considerations are all acknowledged to be true by the planning department's own document and surely are cause for refusal. I notice the government's planned levelling up legislation, which may well become law by Christmas, looks likely to be amended to remove the current requirement for local authorities to blindly meet building quotas. What a shame to ruin Quenneborough with this proposal, if in a few weeks' time it'll become unnecessary.
You have 1 minute remaining.
We need the right type of houses built in the right places. Quenneborough is not the right place. This application has no merit or benefit to Quenneborough, the opposite, in fact. It conflicts with every current and saved plan. No planning department mitigation activity can change that. The previous large developments have already substantially harmed Quenneborough. This one would add yet more damage and harm to the people of Quenneborough and its infrastructure. It should be refused.
Thank you very much. Righto. If I could have now Helen Bareford on behalf of the applicant. Thank you. The same applies, Ms. Bareford, is that you have 5 minutes and the Democratic officer will let you know when you're 1 minute left.
Thank you, Chair and members, for the opportunity to speak today. David Rawson Homes is proud to be one of the UK's largest house builders, and at the heart of our company is a commitment to providing sustainable, high-quality family homes. It is acknowledged that the application site is outside of the current limits to development and within the area of local separation. It is important to note, however, that the Council's current policy relevant to the issue of separation does not preclude the principle of all development, and some development may be acceptable if it clearly maintains separation between the built-up areas of these settlements. Charnwood cannot currently demonstrate a 5-year housing land supply, and the core strategy and Save Local Plan policies are more than 5 years old. Therefore, policies which directly relate to the supply of housing are out of date and cannot be afforded full weight in the decision-making process. The MPPF's presumption in favour of sustainable development and the tilted balance therefore applies, and permission should be granted unless any adverse impacts of doing so would significantly and demonstrably outweigh the benefits when assessed against policies in the framework taken as a whole. The proposals will provide a number of benefits. They will deliver up to 150 new dwellings, of which 40% would be affordable. Charnwood has a significant shortfall of housing, with a recent appeal decision agreeing a range between 2.43 and 3.04 years supply and an acute need for affordable homes. The provision of up to 90 market and 60 affordable homes should be seen as a significant benefit. The site is sustainably located. It abuts the settlement boundary of Quenneborough and is surrounded by existing development on three sides. There is only one open boundary to the countryside, and built development would not project further into the countryside than the existing build line to the east. The sensitivity of the site and key landscape constraints have been used to inform the master plan. The master plan demonstrates how development can maintain and enhance the linear settlement pattern of Quenneborough and mitigate against the perception of reduced separation through increased tree cover and a strong planting buffer along the southern boundary. The proposals also include a landscape buffer with attenuation features to the western boundary and a gateway feature as you enter the site on the public right-of-way from Syston to create a strong and obvious sense of arrival in Quenneborough. With the proposals being outlined and therefore indicative, there remains the opportunity to work with your officers to secure an appropriate and sympathetic layout at the reserve matter stage that addresses the constraints and opportunities of the site to provide a high-quality design and acceptable mix of housing. There are no technical objections to the proposals. The Highway Authority have confirmed that safe access to the site can be achieved, and the impact of the development on the road network and highway safety and off-site street trees would not be severe. There are no objections on ecology, biodiversity or flooding grounds, and the impact of the proposals upon local infrastructure can be suitably mitigated through a Section 106 agreement to secure financial contributions to improve existing facilities such as education and healthcare. There have been a number of past and recent decisions made by members where development has been found acceptable within an area of local separation that are comparable to this application in terms of development scale, reduction of the area of separation, and consideration of development in the context of a shortfall in housing land supply. The recent appeal decision at Cossington Road, Sowerby, further demonstrates that this form of development within the area of local separation can be considered acceptable. The committee report itself states that this appeal signifies that the area of separation designation in itself is not sufficient to be regarded as significant and demonstrable harm when weighed against the benefits of a similar scale to this application. It is considered that the proposals before you today represent sustainable and inclusive development. The local plan inspector has recently confirmed that an increase in housing supply to meet Charnwood's local housing need,
1 minute remaining,
plus Leicester City's unmet need, will be necessary, and these proposals can assist Charnwood in the delivery of this much-needed housing. In our view, an adequate gap between Syston and Quenneborough can be retained, and the perceived harm to the area of local separation can be mitigated against to protect the separate identities of these settlements. Therefore, on balance, the perceived harm does not significantly and demonstrably outweigh the benefits of the application. We are in full support of the planning officer's conclusions and respectfully request that members give favourable consideration to this application. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Rosie Curtis from Quenneborough Parish Council. If you note behind you there. And again, you have 5 minutes, and the Democratic Service officer will verbally let you know when you're 5 minutes, when you've got 1 minute left.
Is this on?
No, you press the button that looks like a zigzag there, speaker. Okay, so when you're ready.
Okay, my name is Rosie Curtis from Quenneborough Parish Council. I'm here today to speak on behalf of the council, and we're grateful for the opportunity. It's with regard to the proposed building of further 150 new houses in our village. As Quenneborough is designated as an other settlement, by definition, it should not be compelled to take large numbers of houses. Already, the existing development at Barley Fields is being extended by 50 additional houses. We have 100-plus planned at Quenneborough Lodge, and between 100 and 200 at Three Ways Farm. With our limited infrastructure and traffic regularly heavily congested, our village just cannot carry the proposed extra 150 new houses viably. The developer also plans to remove a number of healthy and beautiful trees at the crossroads area of the village to attempt to mitigate pressure from extra traffic generated by the proposed development. We are disappointed to see this put forward as a proposal, as the same scheme was suggested when Barley Fields was in planning. The previous developers subsequently varied that condition, as both they and Highways Department agreed highway safety was compromised by it. This was supported by a road safety audit. We are alarmed that Highways have not raised objections to this development, knowing the previous safety concerns, particularly as the volume of traffic now is already higher. Factoring in the hundreds of new houses near Syston and the 4,000 just the other side of Barkby, it's obvious that the traffic flow in our neighbourhood is set to grow even more. The area proposed for this development was not highlighted in our neighbourhood plan, ratified less than 2 years ago. The Parish Council particularly wishes to draw your attention to the conclusion in paragraph 19 and 20 regarding its position in respect of Quenneborough Neighbourhood Plan, in that it does identify housing need and seeks to address it by allocating a site to assist in the exceedance of that need. The Parish Council are of the view that paragraph 14b of the National Planning Policy Framework has been met, and that the adverse impact of granting permission for this application significantly and demonstrably outweighs its benefits. This is the concluding view of the barrister, Mr. Simon Bell, who has acted on Quenneborough Parish Council's behalf. You've been provided with a copy of his report. We emphasise that in the Charnwood local plan, there are sites already allocated for development in and around Quenneborough, which will more than satisfy the housing requirement without any need for this large development of 150 more houses. We are satisfied you will have heard our previous good reasons for refusal of this application from us, the Parish Council, our barrister and our arboreal consultant, and that you have also heard your officer argue there's no good reason for refusal on the grounds that Charnwood cannot demonstrate the five-year housing numbers. We remind you that this application was previously refused by you and those same reasons remain valid. As you are no doubt aware, we have only a very small area of separation from Syston remaining, and if we are to remain as a village and not to coalesce into a huge urban sprawl of Leicester, we strongly urge you to not aid this and to refuse this planning application. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I now call on Councillor Grimley, the ward councillor. Councillor Grimley, you have 5 minutes, and the Democratic Service Officer will let you know when you've only got 1 minute left.
OK, that's great, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to speak at tonight's planning meeting. For this application, the Planning Department has received around 250 responses from local residents with not one letter of support. Objections have also been received from myself, as well as Leicestershire County Councillor James Poland, local MP Ed Arger, all local and parish councils in the area, Bartby and Bartby Thorpe Action Group, and the Campaign to Protect Rural England. There are a number of reasons for refusal, the most important being the demonstrable harm to the area of local separation in terms of landscape value. On page 21 of your report, the Professional Landscape Officer for Charnwood states the following. The proposals would erode an essential part of the area of separation and when taken with previous development in the area of local separation is of the view that the overall integrity of the designation would be compromised, such as the impact would be significant and demonstrable and not mitigated by landscaping. The planning officers and the applicants as well have referred to an appeal in Selby and Cossington. I think it's worth looking at the relevant reason for refusal of that application. The reason for refusal there was that the resulting harm would also have a significant harmful impact to the character of the countryside and the separate identities of the villages of Selby and Cossington. And just to reiterate, page 21 of your report today refers to a higher degree of harm, i.e. demonstrable harm, rather than lesser harm for the Cossington appeal. There are clear differences in the level of harm between the two applications. Regarding the Quenneborough Neighbourhood Plan, I'm somewhat concerned that the report with you today does not refer to recent separate legal advice obtained by Quenneborough Parish Council that is again contrary to Charnwood's previous legal opinion from earlier in the year. The members who have attended the plan's training meetings will be aware that Charnwood's previous opinion, legal opinion is not as clear-cut as officers tried to make out at the committee meeting for the extension to Barley Fields in Quenneborough. The officers had confirmed that Charnwood's stance was based on one single appeal and they could not demonstrate that this view had been upheld anywhere else in the country. The latest legal opinion that Quenneborough Parish Council have attained is that Charnwood's stance is not valid. Therefore, it should be considered that the Quenneborough Neighbourhood Plan complies with paragraph 14 of the MPPF. As already mentioned, traffic on Bartby Road is a major issue. Having visited the majority of the occupied properties on the recently completed Barley Fields development, the biggest concern there from residents was the speed and volume of traffic on Bartby Road. There have been several incidents, no deaths so far, but several incidents from that access. Quenneborough and other local primary schools are already over capacity. The planning report makes reference for 106 money to go to Quenneborough Primary School and another school. Now, Quenneborough School and the governors have confirmed that they will not expand the school. They have said they will put no further development there, so that can't really be that relevant, and the Education Authority really failed to provide an adequate explanation of what local school children would go to. Previously, it had been suggested, I think, Syston schools, but those were also over capacity. The evidence base for the draft local plan is clear, makes on local schools, and makes it clear that we do require additional primary school for further development in the area. Again, the NHS confirmed that the Syston Medical Centre is already operating at full capacity. Again, that there is no actual space to further expand on there. I think, in conclusion, it is for members to make the decision.
You have 1 minute remaining.
And that you should not feel under undue pressure to approve the application. Charnwood's professional landscape officer states that this development would lead to demonstrable harm to the area of separation, which is a valid reason for refusal, even under the tilted balance that the council finds itself in. The Cossington-Sowerby appeal is not really relevant because the reason for refusal there was about significant harm, a lesser degree of harm. It's also fair to say that the officer's stance on the Quenneville neighbourhood plan is questionable at best, and it's only based on a single decision that the officers have not sought further, and the officers have not sought further legal opinion on the latest legal advice from Quenneville Parish Council, was nothing on the Plan Explorer. I hope members will agree with me that there are valid reasons for the refusal of the application tonight. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Councillor Grimley. I now turn to the officers. Mr. Pickrell, all of you.
Okay, thank you, Chair. So, yeah, there's a few points there which warrant some response and clarification. And to turn to the first point, made by Mr. Croker in relation to the 2018 application, which was refused. And as set out in the report, it's recognised that this application is largely the same as was approved, as was refused in 2018, so that reference 180309 application. Page 41 of the report does provide a bit more detail on that and does refer to the changing circumstances since that refusal. Namely that there's been revisions to the MPPF, including the housing need assessment and the methodology associated with that. It's also recognised that the Quenneborough Neighbourhood Plan has come into force since that 2018 application. There's also been the progress made with the local plan. However, at the time of that 2018 application, the council didn't have a five-year land supply, so that was assessed on the tilted balance. But since then, again, we find ourselves in this situation where we still don't have a five-year land supply, and the report refers to that as being persistent and worsening. So we still have the requirement to provide housing and take into account Leicester's unmet need as well. So the point is noted, but members should bear in mind that it's not the same as we're not in the same policy circumstances as we were in 2018. There's been numerous comments around traffic. It's also worth just clarifying that any existing situation with traffic is obviously before this development takes place. So it's not the requirement of this application to address existing issues, but to make sure that it, through its development, it doesn't give rise to any more harm. One point made by the applicant was that the policy doesn't preclude development, and that's correct. The policy does refer to some circumstances where development could be acceptable in the area of local separation. However, there are strict criteria around that development being required to protect the separation and separate identities of the different settlements. And the report goes into some detail around whether or not that has been achieved, with officers being of the view that the application does not protect the separate identities of the different settlements. However, that harm is to be weighed in the balance with the significant benefits of provision of housing, including affordable housing, when we don't have a five-year land supply. There was also reference to the removal of trees at the crossroads. So if I can skip back to the slides to give a bit more detail around that. So the report also refers to it in a bit more detail on, on page 10. So in relation to the TPO trees, which are the ones along the Rearsby Road and Quenborough side of the junction, there's removal. So the applicants originally proposed removal of T12, which would have been this tree close to the junction. However, that's been recommended to be retained, but with some judicious pruning or heavy pruning back, but otherwise retained. The proposals include removal of sycamore trees, which are located on the other side of Rearsby Road, so not within the TPO group. And then there's also associated works, as discussed earlier, within the root protection area of T5 and T6, so to provide that footpath link to the pedestrian crossing here, but otherwise retention of those trees. There was also discussion around the relevance of paragraph 14 from the MPPF in relation to the Quenborough Neighbourhood Plan. And again, some discussion has been provided through the officer's report on that point. And there is reference made to the recent extension to Boonton Meadows Way for an additional 50 houses. So it's recognised that the neighbourhood plan was made in June 2021. So in relation to the criteria of paragraph 14, it's less than 2 years old. The neighbourhood plan bases its assessment of housing need on the core strategy's allocation of at least 500 dwellings across all 12 other settlements. However, it doesn't then break that down to a specific need to Quenborough. So similar to the situation with the application at Boonton Meadows Way, officers were of the view that there's no specific requirement for Quenborough Lodge. So it's for Quenborough. So whilst it's recognised that there is an allocation for 132 dwellings at Quenborough Lodge, similarly to the situation at Boonton Meadows Way, we're not of the view that that meets that part of the criteria, such that paragraph 14 does not apply. That's not to say that the Quenborough Neighbourhood Plan doesn't have any weight. It does have weight in consideration of this application, the same as the safe policies of the local plan and core strategy do. But it's considered in that broader context of paragraph 11 and the tilted balance. Reference was also made to the Cossington appeal. And again, there's a bit more detail in the report on that point. It is recognised that it's a different application on a different site and there are a different set of circumstances, but the inspector's decision on that does give an indication of how the impact on an area of separation is to be weighed in the balance compared to the provision of housing. And in that instance, it was recognised that there would be a harmful effect, but in that situation, the separate identities would be maintained and then the overall harm was outweighed by the benefit of housing, when at that stage we had 3.34 years of housing. Now, obviously, we're dealing with a situation where we have 3.04 years of housing supply. There was also reference to capacity of local infrastructure and schools. And we've covered that through the presentation and the report, in that we've had responses back from key consultees that have shown that whilst it's recognised that there's issues with capacity at the NHS, the local surgeries, for example, there is potential to secure funding for those to increase capacity. And it is noted that in those comments from the GP surgery, the existing overcapacity issues are recognised, but there's scope to secure a trigger point for those contributions so that from the outset of the development, those contributions could be provided. There was reference to Quenborough Parish Council's legal advice that they received, and that having not been taken into account in the report. There is a summary of issues raised by Quenneborough Parish Council. It's recognised that there has been some recent comments provided which have been prepared by Council. Officers have reviewed that and the detail and doesn't and are not of the view that that changes the situation as was considered at the time of the Boonton Meadow Way application. It's recognised that the points raised on behalf of the Quenneborough Parish Council in that letter. It goes through the detail as to the Quenish Parish Council's view as to whether or not paragraph 14 applies. Those have been noted and assessed, and the officers remain of the view that paragraph 14 does not apply. In relation to the comments from the landscape officer, again, those issues have been referred to in the report. It is recognised that this application is within the countryside, is within an area of local separation, and there would be harm. There would be significant harm. But and the thrust of the report is that whilst it's recognised that there would be harm to that element, there's also the significant benefits from the provision of housing, which, in officers' view, balances out the negative harm to the point that paragraph 11 and its requirement that any harm significantly and demonstrably outweighs the benefits, that tipping point hasn't been reached. So the significant harm from an impact on the area of separation, in officers' view, is balanced out by the significant benefits, such that the tilted balance still applies and the presumption is in favour of granting this application. I hope that's covered everything there, Chair, but thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? Yeah. Thank you.
May I just add just a few bits and bobs that I spotted, if I can just underline what Ms Pickrell just said about the involvement of council on this scheme on behalf of the parish council. It wasn't advice. It was his letter was representing the views of the parish council. So I don't know if that's important, but it's a distinction that we noticed, probably just the phraseology being used. Apart from that, if I can pick up where Spickrell finished, just to remind members that what you've heard a lot from the speakers tonight is a very long list of harmful effects that this development would give rise to, and I hope you would agree the report acknowledges those and doesn't really dispute them. There's not much to fall out with from what we've heard tonight. But your job is to go beyond that and to balance that with the benefits and indeed refuse only if those harms are so significant and demonstrably greater than the benefits. As Mr Pickrell concluded in his words, we recognise there's significant harms, but we believe there's significant benefits as well. So using World Cup parlance is a score draw at the moment. And therefore that's not significantly and demonstrably against the development.
Right, well, it's going to be a very quiet meeting. We open it Councillor now to Fryer, the committee, Councillor, to the discussion. Forrest, so, Councillor Forrest, if you'd like to speak first.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have one question and two comments. Do excuse me. Try not to lose my voice. When we visited the site today, the land is clearly under cultivation at present. I think it was potatoes, but I'm not sure about that. Can you tell me, please, because I can't find it in the agenda, what grade that land is, what agricultural grade, please? And whilst that's being looked up, could I refer you, Madam Chairman, to page 31, which talks about the educational needs, which says there is an existing undersupply of primary school places, and LCC Education advised this development would give rise to a need for up to 45 primary school pupils, 25 11 to 16, 5 post-16 pupils and 2 SEND pupils. What bothers me most is the primary school pupils, because education advised that the nearest primary school to the site is Quenneborough Church of England, and there is potential to create capacity at the school to accommodate the demand created from this site, subject to contributions being agreed in an S106 legal agreement. I find this comment a little ambivalent, because it doesn't really tell me what I want to know, and that is where the children who are potentially going to live on the site, where are they going to go to school, and at what distance are they going to be expected to travel? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Pickrell or Mr. Wormley, do you want to come back?
Thank you, Chair. So just to respond to that first point around the grade of agricultural land, so page 36 of the report refers to that, and specifically at the top of page 37 where the section carries on, and says that the site is predominantly grade 2 agricultural land, and then that just clarifies the context that grade 1 is the most valuable, grade 5 is the least.
Councillor Forrest.
Thank you. Madam Chairman, thank you. There's been a lot of talk about tonight about the previous application, and I understand that changes in policy and such. But there's also other changes as well. And I just wanted to try and get from officers why we actually are here tonight and saying this is different. When I looked at the proposal or the refusal notice of the previous application, 0309, the proposal would significantly and demonstrably cause harm that are not outweighed by the planning benefits of the scheme. Now, to me, since then, I've sat on here and we've had 50 more dwellings being put forward and agreed in Quenneborough. We've got the Quenneborough neighbourhood plan, which is less than 2 years old. I can understand what was said about the balance and such, but that was seemed to be quite clear in terms of when we actually said that we were going to refuse the previous. And I go to the Charnwood landscape as well. We're talking, and I've heard that it's significantly landscaping would be harmed, but it says significant and demonstrable and not mitigated by landscaping. So I just wanted to be clear in terms of that before I come back, that am I right in saying what I've said tonight, for what officers can confirm? And how, if previously, if it was significantly and demonstrably causing harm, what policy do we look at now to say that's not happening now?
Who would like to come back? Mr. Pickrell?
Yes, thank you, Chair. The 2018 application has been referred to previously, and there's some discussion around that on page 41 of the agenda. And as we mentioned, we didn't have a five-year land supply at that point in time in 2018, and this application was refused on the grounds of its impact on the area of separation and countryside. That point's acknowledged and is respected in this report. The key One particular change since that time is obviously the continued drive through the MPPF to provide new housing. As said on page 41, that housing need assessment continues to be a requirement. The Borough Council still find ourselves in this position where 4 years down the line from that 2018 application, we still don't have a five-year, or we had a five-year land supply, and now again we do not have a five-year land supply. And at this point in time, 3.04 years supply, that's a significantly below the 5 years required. Also, since that 2018 refusal, there's the appeal decision at Cossington Road, Sowerby, which brought a bit of clarification around the assessment of the area of separation. And we've also had other appeal decisions more recently where inspectors recognised the notable deficiency from the five-year land supply that we're required to have with it being at 3.04 years. Thank you, Chair.
Madam Chairman,
So, in other words, the balances have shifted since 2018, but they've shifted for the worse, and that's why the picture isn't the same today as it was years ago when that decision was made. That's not why I'm speaking, though. I wanted to pick up the earlier inquiry about Section 106 for schools, because I don't think you got an answer for that. So, if I can refer you to page 43 of the agenda, where this is built into the recommendation, and it's really quite precise in its language as to what that money will be used for. By the specific citation of Quenneborough Church of England Primary School, it won't drift off to Lutterworth or Melton Mowbray.
Thank you. Councillor Stark, you wanted to come back.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me come back, Madam Chairman. We've had reference to Sowerby. Can I just confirm Sowerby is a service centre and not an actual other settlement? So that would be different as well. But the one thing I understand is that there's already been a significant proportion of the housing, which was, I know it's not the most you put in, the 500 that was in the plan, but we've got well over that around the actual Quenneborough area. So it does concern me that we're actually putting more housing into this area, and the separation again is difficult for me. So I'll listen to other submissions to this council tonight, and I'll vote later. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Councillor Lowe.
Thank you, Chair. Reference was made, and I keep reading it as well, that this five-year supply might not be needed in the very near future. I'm hoping that one of the officers could to answer that question for me. I am also hearing that the government are taking that away. I think it was spoke about at a training session as well. This should never ever go through, and the only reason it does go through, if it does go through, is because we've got a gun held to our head about this five-year supply. So can you just enlighten me on this five-year supply, please?
Through you, Chair, if I may, Councillor Lowe, you'll be aware of the way that decisions need to be made when dealing with planning matters, in accordance with the development plan and any other material considerations, and that includes government policy. Government policy is set out in the National Planning Policy Framework, further guidance in the National Planning Policy Guidance document. Whatever machinations are taking place in government at the moment about planning reforms or amendments to the Levelling Up and Regeneration Bill are, at this stage, not something that we can take account of in making the decisions on the applications that we've got before us. We have to work on the basis of legislation and policy and not speculation at this stage.
Thank you for that reply, Richard. I would just like to amend the report, if possible. On page 22, you refer to Quenneborough as a town council. I think it will be a town council if we're not careful. But can that be amended, please?
Councillor Forrest, you wanted to come back?
Sorry?
You wanted to come back?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I would like to respond. I thank Mr. Warboys. Mr. Worley, I beg your pardon. I need new glasses. I do beg your pardon. For pointing out to us page 43. But I have read this. I know what it says. And it says about primary education, primary schools, 600, whatever it is, for the provision, improvement, remodelling or enhancement of education facilities at Quenneborough Church of England Primary School or any other school within the locality of the development or the construction of a new school. There are so many alternatives here. It really is not clear to me where these children are going to go to school. We're either going to rebuild Quenneborough Church of England School or wait for the development of a new school. I don't think that this is a satisfactory response for education provision for such a large development, 120 houses. We're not talking about 30 or 40 houses here. We're talking about a substantial development, and I think the County Council Education Department should be able to provide a much more concrete and reliable response. But thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Councillor Gray.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just an observation to start with, that whether the five-year housing supply is legal or not, we will still need homes. However, with this small settlement, this other settlement, seeming to have taken all of the allocated 500 houses, seems unfair. And what is especially worrying is the loss of the area of separation. Would it be possible to amend the application so that a greater area of separation, rather than the little barrier of trees shown there on the screen, could be included, and so that we could have almost a small woodland there of native trees, which would in some way make up for the loss of the field, which may be an agricultural field, but we do need to remember with regards to biodiversity, the importance of these fields, the insects they provide and the homes that they do provide for example, threatened species of butterflies and so on. That would seem a good compromise, and I wonder if we could have an opinion on whether that is possible, just to reduce the size of the application, reduce the number of dwellings and ensure that there is still an area of separation. Thank you.
I'll come back, ask Councillor, Mr. Bennett to answer that. But I think also we're looking at an outline application, which is not detailed how everything will be. But if you would clarify the question, if it was completely different one, it would be a new application.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Members are here tonight to determine the application that's been submitted and not any other form of development. Although, as the Chair has said, this is an outline application with all matters reserved apart from access. So in terms of what actually is designed within the red line boundaries is still to be considered. I wanted to just come back on the point you made about, there is a need for homes, but your concern that this is a small settlement and that it's had you know, over 500 units so far, and it's the share of the allocation to other settlements across the borough in itself. I just wanted to make the point that the policy and the core strategy is for at least 500 homes in other settlements, and that, you know, there are other settlements in the borough that have taken housing as well. So, you know, Quenneborough is not unique, and we do need to consider very carefully, you know, the pressing need for housing in the borough, given the overall housing need and requirements, and the government policy around the delivery of housing to meet the objective to significantly boost housing supply overall. So I just wanted to make that point. Thank you.
Very much. Mr. Charles.
Yes, Councillor Charles.
Councillor Charles.
Thank you, Chair. It's very difficult, this, for all of us. A question I've just got is there any actual identified housing need for Quenneborough?
Through you, Chair, no.
Councillor Hamilton.
Thank you, Chair. Revisiting this area of separation, just a point of clarification. Is there a requirement to have an area of separation? And if there is there a minimum requirement of what defines an area of separation, or is it a purely subjective judgment?
Thank you, Chair. Very interesting question, that one. So there's no national requirement to have an area of local separation, but areas of local separation are a long-standing policy in Charnwood, and members with longer memories will recall from the Borough of Charnwood local plan, which dates back to, you know, 2004, you know, that areas of local separation were set out in that plan. And so it is that a policy for areas of local separation are being carried forward into the emerging local plan. So it's a long-standing policy area of protection. Sorry, I've forgotten what the balance of the question was.
How, is there a limit? You know,
oh, right, yeah. Made? So size isn't important. So it's whether it's performing its function to maintain the separate identities of the places that it's seeking to protect. And so there are different ways that you could do that, through landform and topography, but also landscaping. So I think we've heard from the officer tonight about, you know, what officers feel about the open gap between the two settlements, and that, you know, there will be some harm. So that needs to be played in the balance with the other benefits that there are in if members are minded to allow the development to go ahead, in terms of you know, meeting well, providing contribution towards our housing supply and also affordable homes in the borough. So hopefully that's helpful.
Right, well, I have no more speakers at the moment, but we have no proposals either. So I throw it open to the committee. Oh, Councillor Bentley.
Okay, thank you. Well, I've listened to the debates, but the five-year housing supply situation is quite clear. I'm going to move the recommendations A and B.
Do I have a seconder? Councillor Savage.
Through you, Chair, I'll second the...
by Councillor Bentley, seconded by Councillor Savage, to go with the officer's recommendations A and B. Could I see a show of hands, please? All those in favour? Okay. All those against? Abstentions? And has the legal officer, Catherine, got an answer?
Yeah, I can confirm that the motion was lost with a vote of 4 in favour, 7 against and 1 abstention.
Thank you very much. And we will now move on to item... Oh, yes. Well, I now have to have a proposer and a seconder for
an alternative motion.
That motion was to accept officers' recommendation. It's lost. We need another proposal and the grounds. Councillor Start.
I propose that we oppose officers' recommendation. And I think there's room, actually, for looking at the refusal of 309. I understand there are differences, but I think at the end of the day, what I said previously still stands in terms of the proposal would significantly demonstrably cause harm that is not outweighed by the planning benefits of the scheme. And then there's this reference to the separate identities of towns and villages in accordance with policies CS2, CS11, CS12 and CS14.
Thank you. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Murphy?
Yes, through you, Chair, I'll second that.
Thank you very much. Could I see all those in favour of the recommendation? Catherine, you wanted to come in?
Just wanted to be sure. Yeah, just before we took the vote, just wanted to check that the planning officers were clear on the grounds and happy with the...
Madam Chairman, I am open to more suggestions from officers that could help me.
So, thank you, Chair. So, just on that point, so the proposal is for recommendation to refuse based on the 2018 refusal reasons. And in summary, those refusal reasons do, as Councillor Snart refers, base its reasoning on the location in the countryside and the impact on the area of separation. Officers would suggest that councillors take into account that there's also the Quenneborough Neighbourhood Plan, which has been made since that point, so the policies could be referred to as part of the reason for refusal.
Is that acceptable? That's acceptable. So could I see all those in favour of the proposal, please? All those against? And all those abstaining?
Okay, to confirm, that motion was carried with a vote of 7-4, 3 against and 2 abstentions.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much to the members and the speakers. You are more than happy to stay in if you wish, or if we would give you a couple of minutes to leave. Thank you.
Right, thank you, Chair. The next item is P/21/10934/2. And this is going to be presented to us by Susan Garber. Susan.
Thank you, Chair. This is item 2 on the agenda. It's a planning application at Wood Close in Wivenhoe Drive in Quorn. There is an extras report in relation to this application, which you should have in front of you, but that extras report doesn't make any changes to the recommendation. So the proposal is for a full application for the erection of 2 detached dwellings fronting onto Budden Lane. The site application is shown on the slide there in red, with the remainder of the land in ownership shown in blue. The site is within the current limits to development of Quorn in a residential area. The site is currently part of the curtilage of Wood Close, which is shown on that slide. The site boundary to Budden Lane is treed with low hedges, post and rail fencing, and already includes 2 secondary accesses to that property. Budden Lane itself is a private and unadopted road with no footways, which has a public footpath K9 running along its entire length. Some trees along the boundary with Budden Lane are protected by tree preservation orders. The site is located between numbers 11 and 21 Budden Lane, to the east and southwest, and to the north is Wood Close. Number 11 is a two-storey dwelling, and number 21 was a bungalow, but has recently been demolished. So that shows the proximity to the neighbouring properties. That's the existing access. One of the existing accesses is onto Budden Lane. That's within the application site itself. That's the two-storey dwelling, number 11, which is adjacent to the site. That's the view of Budden Lane itself, with the site shown there on the left, showing the trees that are subject to the tree preservation order and also the existing boundary hedge. And that's a view from the other direction, with the site on the right-hand side and the TPO trees clearly shown. So this is the proposed site layout. Plot one is to be a 1.5-storey, 3-bed dwelling with an attached garage, and plot two is a 2-storey dwelling with 5 bedrooms and a detached triple garage. The two dwellings will each have their own access from Budden Lane, utilising the existing access points. The original application sought 3 dwellings, but this has now been reduced to 2 following concerns of overdevelopment. So this is just going through the proposals. So this is plot one. It's the smaller of the two dwellings, which is a 3-bedroom. And this is plot two, which is the larger 5-bed property, 2 storeys next to the adjacent 2-storey property. And that's the proposed street scene image of what the proposal will look like along Budden Lane, with the adjacent property number 11 just shown in white. This is just a copy from the tree preservation order, just shows which of the trees are protected by the tree preservation order along Budden Lane. So it's trees just along that frontage. So I'll just go through the key issues that are covered in the application report. So in principle, the application site is located within the limits to development and thus is supported by the Corn Neighbourhood Plan if it meets all the Corn Neighbourhood Plan policies. Corn is a service centre in the settlement hierarchy and is considered to be a sustainable location for development in accordance with CS1. In terms of the housing mix proposed, it's a mix of a 3-bed and a 5-bed dwellings, and it doesn't fully reflect the evidence of need in the recent HENA, as set out in the report, or in policy H3. This is detailed in page 63 of the agenda. However, the area is characterised by large dwellings in large plots, and this proposal does help to meet the needs for 3 and 4 plus bedroom dwellings. In terms of the design, the proposal is for 2 detached dwellings, set back from Budden Lane as per the other dwellings on that side of the lane. The proposal utilises the existing accesses, and the existing dwellings on Budden Lane are of an individual arts and craft style. Both dwellings proposed are individually designed and would reflect the design style of Budden Lane and the materials palette in the area. Both dwellings include design detailing, such as dormer windows, box bays, and chimneys to both plots as well. The scale of the dwellings reflects their neighbours, and so plot one is 1.5-storey and plot two is 2-storey. The trees on the Budden Lane frontage are protected by the TPO of 2019, and the development would not cause significant detriment to their health and amenity value. In terms of amenity impacts, the dwelling opposite and to the rear are over 50 metres away, so they won't be impacted by the proposal. And due to the scale of the dwellings and their siting, there won't be an overbearing impact on neighbours, and the amenity of the neighbours will be protected. In terms of biodiversity impact, the site is part of an area of local biodiversity importance identified in the Corn Neighbourhood Plan, policy ENV3, where policy requires development proposals to protect habitats and species, and that the need for and benefit of the development proposal should outweigh the ecological loss. The development would result in biodiversity net loss, and therefore compensation is necessary. There is limited scope for on-site mitigation, and so off-site compensation is required. Therefore, a compensation payment of £44,944 is to be secured by legal agreement. This is considered to be SIL compliant. Members may have noted that page 66 of the report refers to a further hedgerow assessment that may be required. Further information has been received in relation to this, and this doesn't require any amendment to the offsetting payment, as mentioned, the £44,944. So in summary, the majority of the local site that has been identified for biodiversity importance in the neighbourhood plan would be retained. The TPO trees are to be retained and a compensatory payment is to be made. In the context of the need for housing and the compensation payment proposed, the benefits of the development would outweigh the partial loss of the local ecological site. In terms of impact on the highway and highway safety, the proposal meets highway standards and the local highways authority do not object, subject to conditions. Due to the nature of the lane, being narrower than the standard, a construction environment management plan is to be conditioned. So in conclusion, as set out on page 68 of the report, the proposal is considered to meet all development plan policy and the MPPF. The application is to be determined under the tilted balance in the MPPF. As there is no policy conflict, there are no adverse impacts, and a balance is in favour of approval. It is recommended the application is approved, subject to a legal agreement set out in Recommendation A and the conditions set out in Recommendation B. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. We have three speakers on this item. The first speaker is David Roberts, the objector, Lizzie Marjoram on behalf of the applicant, followed by Councillor Shepherd, who called it in, and a statement from him will be read out by me. So, Mr. Roberts, are you right to take the chair here in front of me?
Chairman, could I just say that Ms. Marjoram's known to me, but we've had no comment on this or contact, and I have an open mind.
Okay, thank you very much. I also, just for clarity, I know that she works for a firm of solicitors that I use, but I've never had any personal contact in any way with Lizzie Marjoram. Can you find the buttons to your right? Sorry, when you're ready, as soon as you start speaking, you have 5 minutes. After 4 minutes have passed, Ed from just here to your right will indicate to you you have 1 minute remaining. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and good evening, everyone. I've not come with a script or anything as polished as some of the other speakers tonight, so forgive me for that. I'll just perhaps speak a little bit from the heart on this one. I'll start with, well, who I am. I live at number 11, one of the photos of the properties that was shown in the presentation just now. It's on the right of the one on the screen. But before I get to the personal concerns I have about my property and its proximity, let me first just relay the general neighbourhood concerns around this site, some of which have been touched on in the opening from the officer. There is a strong neighbourhood concerned with this. Probably started with the felling of over 20 established trees in what really was an orchard on that site before they were knocked down. You would have seen the stumps on some of the photographs that were shown a moment ago. It's been mentioned Budden Lane is a very narrow lane, and at this point where the property will be built is the narrowest point on that lane. It causes all sorts of current traffic chaos anyway, particularly at this point, at the narrowest point on the lane. And the idea that we can accommodate two significant houses and the construction that will come with that is a particular concern, not just to me living nearby, but to many people who live in the village of Quorn. The biodiversity impact is also causing a lot of concern for people in the village, people who are familiar with the neighbourhood plan that's been mentioned. It's new information and interesting that a payment has to be made to compensate that. It doesn't sit very comfortably with me, but I assume that's all considered above board. If I could move to the personal concerns I have, and I'm well aware that this comes across a little bit as a NIMBY mindset when I'm the owner of the property that borders the site. My main concern, if this proposal is to go ahead, is just what seems to be strange unfairness about the way these two properties have been put onto this site. The one on the left seems to benefit from a huge gap between it and the first of the new properties, whereas my house seems to have the biggest of the two properties by some degree. I think 5 and 3 bedrooms was mentioned. The 5-bedroom house is being put very close to my house with an L-shaped return that is going down the back of my back garden. And it just doesn't seem the fairest use of the site when you see that previous photo, if you could just perhaps put that one back up, shows the proximity of the new house to my white house on the right, whereas you can't even see the house on the left of this shot. And I'm just struggling to understand why the houses have been positioned in this kind of disproportionate way on the site. It's most odd. It was mentioned that the house that you can't see on the photo to the left was a bungalow. That's true. It was a bungalow. It's no longer a bungalow. It's been flattened, and a new, much bigger house is going to be built in its site. So, again, the reasoning for why a small house goes near the bungalow is no longer valid, because the bungalow is no longer there and a bigger house is being built. So it comes back to, for me, a question of real unfairness around the presentation of these two properties on this site. My kind of main plea on a personal level is, if this is to proceed at all, then surely there can be a re-examination of how these two houses are being located on this plot. Thank you.
Thank you. Would you like to move back to your seat? Thank you very much. So the button's to your right. As soon as you start to speak, you have 5 minutes. Do you want the officer to your right to indicate when you have 1 minute remaining? You do. Okay, thanks very much. Start when you're ready.
I'm Lizzie Marjoram, planning solicitor for the applicant. This application site is part of the Garden of Wood Close, one of the older properties in the village and the oldest on Budden Lane, which sits on an unusually large plot with established lawful access from both Budden Lane since 1912, this was the main original access, and latterly Wyvernhoe Drive, which was tarmac surfaced much later. The application was originally for 3 properties. It has been reduced to 2 units and has taken on board all comments, including from the neighbour you've just heard from, and concerns about development of the site. Amendments to reduce and reposition the houses ensure that the scheme respects the neighbouring properties and protects the trees. The closest property mentioned by this neighbour has 6.5 metres separation, a very generous separation to number 11 at ground floor level, and 8.5 metre separation at first floor level. This separation distance is significantly more than standard planning requirements. In the Corn neighbourhood plan, the site is highlighted as one of natural environmental significance, albeit this is not based on any evidence. The trees are the only items of environmental interest on the site, as confirmed by the ecological appraisal and accepted by officers. The trees will be protected through the construction process and by TPO. Only one diseased tree is being removed, and several new native species trees will be planted. The accesses for the two properties utilise the two existing access points onto Budden Lane, and through their improvement and enlargement, this will provide a passing place for traffic. Any increase in traffic as a result of this development will be minor, given that the main Wood Close property will no longer have access to Budden Lane after this development is completed. A construction management plan will ensure the continued safety and minimise impact to other users of Budden Lane during construction. The Parish Council have not objected, and any concerns raised have been addressed. There are also no objections from County Highways to this application. The design achieves compliance with the Corn Village design statement, and the high-quality design ensures the new properties will tie in seamlessly with their surroundings through the use of high-quality sustainable building materials and high-performance products to boost the energy performance of the properties by using solar panels, ground and air source heat pumps. High-quality landscaping will utilise new native broadleaf tree species. New native hedges and other planting will provide significant enhancement to Budden Lane. The development would complete the street scene and provide glimpses through trees and landscaping to two well-designed properties sitting comfortably in generous plots, similar to the character of the rest of Budden Lane. The proposal is small-scale infill development on an unusually large garden plot within the settlement boundary in a service centre village. It could not be more different from the development you've heard about in item one. This type of development has been approved by the council many times in this village, most recently on the adjacent land at 88 Chaveney Road, for which it should be noted there is no biodiversity contribution. In this example, the scheme is supported by a biodiversity contribution of £44,944. The only items of significance on the site are the trees, and these
are 1 minute remaining.
And these are protected by this development and the continuing TPO. This application is exactly the sort of opportunity which the council should approve in order to decrease pressure to identify large greenfield or agricultural sites beyond the settlement boundaries. Please support the officer's recommendation to approve this application. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. If you'd like to take your seat. Thank you. Mrs. Harrison, do you have the statement for me to read out? Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm just going to read this out as it's written, so if any part of it doesn't make sense, I can't apologise enough for that, but I can't change it, so I've just got to read what's in front of me. I apologise for not being able to attend this meeting of the committee. I'm grateful to the Chair for kindly agreeing to read out my comments for me. Councillor Jane Hunt and I have been concerned about the application site ever since the removal of a large number of trees a few years ago. The application site forms part of a larger site, the whole of the Garden of Wood Close, designated a site of natural environment significance in the Quorn Neighbourhood Plan. The plan requires development proposals to demonstrate that the need for and benefits of the development clearly outweigh the ecological loss. The first reason for this application should be refused obviously depends on whether or not the committee considers the needs and benefits outweigh the loss. I do not believe they do. It is understood that the applicant has offered a compensatory payment to offset biodiversity loss. It is not known where that might be or even if a suitable location could be found in Quorn. The importance of the area to the people of Quorn was expressed through the Quorn Neighbourhood Plan, and that is still relevant even though the Neighbourhood Plan is more than 2 years old. The contribution of just two houses on the borough housing supply does not outweigh the loss of this important land. Two dwellings being built on the application site would tilt the appearance of the street scene in a way which is out of character for Budden Lane, the second reason for a refusal. Notwithstanding the view of the local highway authority, I hope that you have an opportunity to view the lane and note especially its width. You'll recognise that with the addition of vehicle movements arising from two dwellings is a reason, at the very least, for concern about safety and therefore refusal. Finally, you will have heard reasons for refusals put to you by Mr. Roberts, and I hope you will agree with the significance of what is said, including concerns regarding the layout of the two houses with the overall plot. That's it. Thank you very much. I'm going to pass that back now to Mrs. Garbutt, who will comment on what's been said.
Thank you, Chair. The only thing I think I need to add to what I've already spoken about is the comment from the owner of number 11 regarding the amenity impact on their property from the proximity of the two-storey dwelling. This is considered in page 65 of the agenda report, where it details how the relationship between the two dwellings is acceptable in relation to the guidance in the adopted supplementary planning document on design. So it's considered that there will not be any adverse impact on the proximity of the property in terms of overbearing, loss of light, or any such amenity impact. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. I have three people indicated that they wish to speak. First is Councillor Lowe, followed by Councillor Ransom, followed by Councillor Campsall. So, Councillor Lowe, you're up first.
Thank you, Chair. It was mentioned there, where would this money go? This money that's being given for... where would it be spent? Where would it be spent? Can I have a new garden fence?
No,
I'm sorry, you can't. Ms. Garvett, do you want to come back on that?
The offsetting payment is to go towards in accordance with the biodiversity guidance that we've got, which has been recently ratified by the council. We take these payments and we use those payments to secure biodiversity gain on alternative sites. That can be alternative sites in the locality proximity of the settlement in question, but it can also be elsewhere on the borough, in the borough, and also even outside the borough. It depends on the type of offsetting that you want to do. So if you're losing a certain type of habitat and that's the habitat that you want to secure elsewhere, so it depends where that's going to be located. So it's not necessarily in the same settlement, it's the same habitat type that you're looking to offset, if you see what I mean.
Councillor Lowe, I'm sure you'd like to come back on that.
I would, yeah. Outside the borough sounds concerning, you know, and I don't know how that was passed through the council, but I would like to see it spent locally. Around Quorn or at least within Charnwood. But whilst I sympathise with the, you know, the objector, I think this is a really nice application, and I'm going to propose we go with officer's recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Lowe. Do we have a seconder for that proposal? Thank you very much. Seconded by Councillor Ransom. Councillor Ransom, yeah. Did you want to speak as well?
Yes, please. I must agree with Councillor Lowe I went on site in the torrential rain this afternoon and it was it's going to be aesthetically quite. I do feel sorry for number 11, but maybe if they go in conversation with each other, with the builder, which the officer has indicated that is on the cards, maybe that is actually the thing to do, you know, on that. And I'm quite pleased that we are going to get, and my colleague over there, Mr. Councillor Campsall, will be quite happy with item 7 on page 73. So, yes, I will second this application for officer's recommendation.
Thank you very much. Next, Councillor Campsall.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, it's a shame that the 5-bed wasn't swapped with the 3-bed and brought further away from the objector's house. I can see his view. Would there be any windows overlooking on the side of that house? That's the first question. Thank you.
Well, actually, I think there's two there. Mrs. Garber, are you happy to come back on those two points?
Yes. The reason for the 1.5-storey being in that location was because of the bungalow next door. And so the 2-storey larger property is next to the larger property, number 11. In relation to windows, that's covered in the report. There are 2 first-floor windows on the facing gable end of number 11, but these relate to an ensuite, which is not a habitable room, and the other is a secondary bedroom window. So there's another window serving that as well. And there is a condition in recommendation B in relation to the windows of the new property, which ensures that the windows on that elevation will be obscure glazed and no further windows will be allowed.
Do you want to come back on that?
Yeah, that's great. I'm happy with that. It's nice to hear about the native edges. That's really refreshing that developers are doing this. And just the thing about the money for the biodiversity going into a pot. We did have an officer here the other month, Mr. Fennell, saying, explaining everything and saying if we have ideas, any council's got ideas where they want to do some planting or, you know, to get in touch with him. But I've been trying now for 6 months to get in touch with him and I can't get in, you know, in touch with him. So how do we get our hands on this money, please?
Ms. Galbert. Sorry, Richard.
Thank you, Chair. If council councillors have problems in getting hold of anyone, you can always contact me and I'll take that on for you and connect you with the right people. At any time, if councillors have got ideas about projects to realise biodiversity gain, then you can contact either myself or Rupert Sims, the senior ecologist, and he'd be very happy to talk to you about that and you know, take it forward.
Councillor Fryer?
Well, on that point, you'll see on page 73, item 7, to improve the biodiversity, to consider providing bird nesting, bat roost boxes, hedgehog holes and or houses in appropriate locations within the plot. So they're doing their best. And I think it's excellent.
Thank you very much. Councillor Fryer. Councillor Forrest, sorry.
I know who you meant, Mr. Chairman. thank you. Page 72, can I just say, first of all, I think this will be a lovely development and two art houses in the arts and crafts style will be an enhancement to that site. Page 72, point 5, care should be taken during site works to make sure that hours of operation, methods of work, dust, etc., do not unduly disturb nearby residents. I just wonder if we ought to firm that up a little and say no work before 8 o'clock, no work after 5, Monday to Friday, hours of work on Saturday, 8 till 12, no working on Sundays and bank holidays.
Thank you. I'll put that to the officer.
We wouldn't usually stipulate that, but that we could condition that if you think it's reasonably necessary in this location.
Thank you. And nobody else has indicated to speak. It's been proposed by Councillor Lowe, seconded by Councillor Ransom, with the... Sorry, Richard Bennett wants to come in. With the addition of the proposal that's been put forward for the working hours. Thank you very much. Right, now I've been sort of thrown me out a bit, that interlude. Can I see a show of hands in favour? Catherine?
Okay, I confirm the motion was carried with a unanimous vote in favour.
Thank you very much.
Have you noticed Councillor Popley is not here?
Oh, God. Okay, if anybody would like to leave now, they're welcome to, before we go on to the next item.
Just tell Richard. Richard? Just ask the just Democratic officer, has any word been received from Councillor Popley? Only he did call this in, application.
Yeah, I totally agree. Thank you.
Don't know what we can do.
Everybody agreed that we should continue. We're not going to wait for Councillor Popley to turn up. He's just checked in the foyer. He's not in the foyer. Yes, yeah. Thank you for that. Right, thank you very much. Item 3, application number P/22/0891/2. This is being presented again by Ms. Garbutt. If you'd like to take it away, please.
Thank you, Chair. This is item 3 on the agenda. The application site is the rear of 39A Leicester Road in Shepshed. There is an extras report in relation to this item as well. And in following that extras report, there are proposed alterations to conditions 3, 16, 19 and 20. So this is the application site. The proposal is a full application for the erection of a two-storey dwelling to contain 8 one-bedroom flats with associated car parking, cycle parking, bin storage, access and landscaping. The site comprises land between and to the rear of numbers 39 and 41 Leicester Road. Number 39 contains 2 flats and number 41 is a dwelling. So that's the application red line, which shows the large garden of 39 and half of the garden, over half of the garden of 41. And the access will be taken between those two properties. Land levels on the site do vary, and so the site from the road and to the rear of the site, there's a levels difference of about 4.5 metres, and it dips from the road as you go to the bottom of the site. So the rear of the site is actually quite significantly lower than the road side. So the proposal, in anticipation of the proposal, the land was cleared some time ago, the land at 39. Has been cleared of trees, and the land to the rear of 41 is still a garden containing trees and shrubs. There's currently a hedgerow boundary between the two gardens, which does contain trees, and that will be removed to facilitate the development. The site itself is within the limits of development of the settlement, and the area is primarily residential. The access is to be taken between 39 and 41, which has an existing drop curb and is currently used for parking. The building is to be sited approximately 50 metres from the rear of the dwellings 39 and 41 and approximately 53 metres from the properties on Sullington Road to the rear of the site. The proposed building will measure 20.7 metres in length and 13.7 metres in depth and be 9 metres to the ridge. The building would be red brick with grey roof tiles and reconstituted stone detailing. The site plan shows a total of 14 car parking spaces, and these will serve the new flats and also the two existing flats at number 39. That just shows the car parking and the proposed access in more detail, and it also shows where the cycle storage, and bin collection will be located adjacent to 39. It also shows that 39 will retain some amenity space to the rear to serve the flats, and 41 will still retain quite a large area of garden for that property as well. So this slide shows the demolition and clearance. So it shows that the hedgerow boundary will be removed and the trees will be removed, shown in red. The visibility splays have been considered, and the Highways Authority advise that visibility splays onto Leicester Road are acceptable, subject to small works to ensure that there's the visibility splays just across the land of 41 and 39, which is within the site boundary. Those are the proposed floor plans for the block of flats and the bin storage building. This is the these are the proposed elevations for the block of flats. And as I said, it will be located to the rear of the site, and there's an indicative site section shown there, which shows the distance quite clearly and shows that the block of flats will be set down, taking into account the levels on the site. So these are some photos to just illustrate for you the site. So that's the existing gap between the properties, which is currently used for car parking, as I said, with the drop curb. And that's a few street scene images either side of that proposed access to show the character of the street scene. These are the windows on either side of that site access. So 39 has two windows to the side. Both are for storage rooms, small storage rooms, and there's no windows on the side elevation of 41. So within the site itself, you can see that levels drop down from the road. The site has been cleared, and it's largely overgrown from the garden of 39. And you can see the boundary treatment to the nearest property. That's the existing vegetation to the rear of 41 and the hedgerow boundary, which is not of good quality. And again, looking back towards the site access and looking back to number 41, which is the white property, you can see that overgrown hedgerow with the scattered trees. And then that's looking back towards 39, where the two flats are located. And you can see the gap between 39 and 41. So the key considerations for this application are the principle of development. The site is located in a sustainable location in accordance with CS1, and the site is within the limits to development. The housing mix of 8 one-bed flats doesn't reflect the evidence of need in the HENA, which says we mostly need 3-bed flats, but it does contribute to the small need for 1-bed flats. However, the limited mix, therefore, is a minor negative of the proposal. But that's not considered to be significant. In terms of the design, the western side of Leicester Road is characterised by detached and terraced dwellings with long rear gardens, but the block of flats would be set well back from the street frontage and wouldn't be within the established building line. And as a large block, it wouldn't reflect the prevailing street scene. However, due to the site levels, the block will be set lower down than the dwellings on Leicester Road, and also the setback distance of the block will also reduce visibility in the street scene. The materials are considered to reflect the area, and there is satisfactory waste storage and collection points provided. In terms of residential amenity, the flats will meet the national space standards, and the distance between the existing and the proposed properties will ensure no overlooking and amenity impacts. The gardens for 39 and 41 are still to be provided. The Environmental Health Officer has considered the potential impact of noise from the access on the adjacent properties either side, 39 and 41, and this is to be mitigated by acoustic fencing around the rear gardens of 39 and 41, and that is to be secured by condition. As I've said, there are no windows on those side elevations that will be impacted. The bins are to be collected adjacent to number 39, and the Environmental Health Officer is content that this will not impact any habitable rooms. In terms of highways impact, the local highways authority do not raise objection to the proposal. Leicester Road is a 30 miles an hour road, and there is lots of on-street parking. However, the access is 4.8 metres wide, and the visibility splays can be achieved. There is sufficient parking and turning within the site that a car can go into the site, park, and then come out again in a forward gear to improve visibility when exiting the site. In terms of biodiversity, the site will be cleared of trees within the site boundary, and hedges are to be retained and improved. A biodiversity impact assessment is to be secured by the Section 106 to ensure that biodiversity is mitigated if necessary. This is considered to be silt compliant. Conditions are also recommended in relation to landscaping, boundary treatment, a construction environment management plan in relation to biodiversity and bat and bird boxes. The planning balance is set out in page 1991 of the report, and the application is to be determined under the tilted balance in the MPPF as it is for the provision of housing, and we don't currently have a five-year supply. The adverse impact of the conflict with the character of the area in design terms is considered to not significantly and demonstrably outweigh the benefits of the development. Therefore, it's recommended the application is approved, subject to a 106 and conditions, as set out in Recommendation A, and as set out in Recommendation B, subject to the conditions that are updated within the extras report. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. We had three speakers on this item. We have Simon Plummer, objector, are you here? We have Karen Brightman, agent, and we had Councillor Popley, who called this item in, who's not here to speak tonight. So, Mr. Plummer, if you'd like to take the seat.
Can you put the second slide up, because I might be referring to
that. Can we do that, officer? Thank you very much. This one? Okay, thank you very much. There's a button to your right. Once you press that and the light goes red, you're ready to start to speak. Once you start to speak, you have 5 minutes. After 4 minutes, the democratic officer to your right will indicate to you verbally that you have 1 minute remaining, unless you prefer him not to interrupt you. What would you prefer? You want the indication, thanks. So start when you're ready. Thank you.
Madam Chair, councillors, ladies and gentlemen. Firstly, I must express my disappointment with the documentation released on the 16th of November, specifically the public reports pack, which stated that Charnwood Borough Council recommending that this planning application was to be approved unconditionally. This has acted to undermine faith in the process, such that a number of residents in the area had lost hope and decided that there was no point attending this meeting today. This error in documentation was not corrected until yesterday and then was not made known to anyone other than me, so far as I'm aware. I'm not sufficiently familiar with the due process, but would suggest that misinformation in important planning documentation may constitute grounds for adjournment and rescheduling of the agenda item for a future meeting. However, assuming that not to be the case, I shall go on. The proposal is clearly designed to maximise development profit and does not attempt to compromise and add any benefit to the area, which could be beneficial to the intended residents, surrounding residents, local businesses, or the community at large. For example, negotiation with stakeholders on the Sullington Road side of the development could potentially secure pedestrian access to Sullington Road, which would at very least be a major benefit to the occupants of the flats, as it would open up convenient access to local employers and to the local pub, saving around a 1,200-metre walk, bike ride or drive for every single round trip to those destinations. This is where I might expect planning authorities to look for more creativity from professional development organisations when integrating their proposals into the local community. Whilst on this point, I was referring to the ordnance survey map as indicated. Okay, it's not a very clear or detailed one, but I did visit number 43 next door to the site on the south of that picture. And I looked at the boundaries at the bottom left-hand part of that plot. And that boundary didn't actually appear to be like that at all. It was almost as if that red line that you can see there, that the arrow, the cursor was at then, at the bottom, was level or lifted up to be aligned to the horizontal line immediately to its left. So that just made me think whether or not that was accurate or whether the development itself might have some errors associated with the dimensions. So obviously that should be sorted out because the land area might not actually be as big as you perhaps think it is. In terms of the difference, just by scaling from that plot, it's around about a 14% reduction in its available width. Traffic on Leicester Road. There were unanimous and widespread concerns regarding the development and the already severely stressed traffic situation on Leicester Road. These concerns do not seem to have been taken seriously, however, and the committee should not bury its head in the sand to them and the dangers posed. I've lived opposite to the site of the proposed development for over 30 years, and the situation progressively deteriorates. The HAZ document issued with the planning application tried to argue a number of points, but many of these are flawed when you study the location properly. It is argued that the road has a 30 miles per hour speed limit, but this, of course, is not enforced. In reality, it is often a race between different cars to find a spot between adjacent parked cars, and 40 miles per hour.
1 minute remaining.
40 miles per hour is often to be observed, except in cases where the traffic is gridlocked. It is argued that the road is wide enough to allow two-way traffic despite the parked cars. Owing to the size of cars, vans, etc. these days, this is not often the case, except for times when vehicles are forced to mount the pavement and drive along that in order to afford the extra space. So as pedestrians, sometimes we actually do have cars heading straight for us and at speed before they slip back onto the road, just before they get to you. The visibility displays are a joke. There's a diagram up there that shows parked cars, and the number of parked cars are, you know, absolutely jammed in there. You do not have visibility displays at all in reality. There's problems with the road changing from just a driveway.
Sorry,
as well.
Sorry, your time is up.
Thank you. Would you like to take your seat? Next speaker is Karen Brightman, who is the agent for the applicant. I'm sure you know the drill, but you have 5 minutes to speak. Do you want a verbal indication when you have 1 minute remaining?
Yes, please.
Okay. Ed, can you give that, please? Thank you. So start when you're ready.
I would like to thank the Council for allowing me the opportunity to speak today as planning agent for the application. I would also like to thank your officer for his comprehensive and considered report recommending approval for this small housing scheme within the development limits for Shepshed. We've worked proactively with your officers to reach the proposal before you tonight via the pre-application advice process and amendments to the scheme. Given the lack of a 5-year supply of housing land in Charnwood, the test for this development is whether there would be any significant harm which would outweigh the benefits the scheme would bring. This is the balance required at paragraph 11D of the MPPF and the one that you must all apply tonight. The development would deliver much needed new housing in a location close to the town centre of Shepshed. Shepshed is well served in terms of local services and public transport, and of course benefits from growing employment opportunities to the west of Loughborough. This is the reason it's earmarked for growth within the current and emerging local plans. The site's sustainable location and compliance with the borough's spatial strategy is a significant benefit of the scheme. The proposal would provide 8 spacious flats to serve smaller households with ample parking and amenity space. The building is proportionate to its plot, allowing for a good quality landscaping scheme in response to the suggested condition. The design of the building is simple and seeks to tie in with rather than replicate the surrounding frontage development. This is a wholly appropriate response given its recessive location. We note the officer's support within the report for the design put forward. We are aware of the focus in the HINA on 2- and 3-bedroom properties, but point out that this document states site circumstances may lend themselves to smaller flatted development. As the officer report highlights, the council's own policy, CS3, also takes site characteristics into account in determining what is an appropriate mix. We note no amenity concerns are raised, which is not surprising given the extensive distances between this two-storey building and its neighbours. All standards within the council's own design guide are met and exceeded, even factoring in the change in levels across the site. Our client owns the adjacent property to the north and has full cooperation from his neighbour to the south. This has facilitated enhanced visibility at the site access and will allow for a comprehensive scheme of acoustic fencing to be agreed with the officers as per the suggested condition. The site is understood to have contained a number of trees which were cleared before our client purchased the land and sought officer advice regarding possible development. Whilst there has been no removal of the trees by him, and I must emphasise that, he is keen to make up for any lost biodiversity and has agreed to provide net gain either within the site or by way of a commuted sum. This goes well beyond the remit of the Council's current biodiversity policy and shows his commitment to providing a high-quality scheme. As the report makes clear, there are no other technical issues and the proposal, including the bin collection regime, is fully supported by the Highway Authority and the Environmental Health Team, subject, of course, to the conditions set out. We understand that objections have been received to the proposal, but we can't see how those can demonstrate any material harms sufficient to outweigh the benefits that I've outlined just now. Just to sum up, this is a well-designed proposal which will bring much-needed new housing to the borough at a time of great need. It also offers biodiversity gain and the opportunity for small households to live close to the town centre and employment uses whilst offering them transport choice. There is no conflict with the development plan or harm to amenity, and all technical concerns have been overcome or can be mitigated against. No adverse impacts have been identified which outweigh the benefits, and accordingly an approval should be forthcoming. We trust members will agree with the recommendation of their own officers and resolve to grant planning permission this evening. Thank you all very much for your time.
Thank you very much. If you'd like to take your seat. And Ms. Garbutt, do you want to come back on the comments that have been raised?
I would just like to respond to the comments about a potential pedestrian link onto Sullington Road from the site. There is no requirement in policy to provide pedestrian links, and that isn't part of the proposal at present. The pedestrian link to a main road will be from the site via the access proposed onto Leicester Road. In terms of the levels query that was raised and ownership, as far as I'm aware, there's no ownership issues, and the application is taken as per the red line submitted and as per the declaration on the application form, which is a legal declaration by the applicant that they have notified all relevant owners. In terms of levels, we've got a levels condition on the recommendation B, to secure details of the final levels because there will need to be some regrading of the site when the development takes place to ensure that the building can be level and to ensure that the car parking can be provided. Thank you, Chair.